James, what was your favorite Conan match?
None of this makes any sense
to me.
That's
fine.
No, if it's not the British Bulldogs, I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Yeah.
Very good.
That's the second name drop, too, from Lenny Poffo.
Yeah,
that's
Lenny Poffo and the British Bulldogs.
Yeah, there we go. James got range.
Yeah. Hammer's a big rock and wrestling connection era guy. It's good stuff. James, it's looking bad. Anthony Davis is returning to Dallas's lineup tonight in Brooklyn. Kings got Boston and Oklahoma City the next two nights. They're going to have to earn a play-in spot. We thought maybe a week or two ago they're going to, like, stumble in and just have to compete in the play-in. They're going to have to earn a spot in the play-in these next few weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dallas has, like, the 18th most difficult schedule remaining. Like, this isn't... They have a cupcake schedule. The Kings, after the next two games, their final 10 are a lot easier than most teams. I think that they'll probably be, like, 15th or 18th, somewhere around there, after you get through these two games. But you got to get through these two games. And this is, like, one of the worst back-to-backs I've ever seen. I don't care if it's at home or on the road. This is, like, literally the finals matchup. You're going to get to see the Western Conference and Eastern Conference, like, likely final favorites heading into the next two nights. And it's just really difficult. You are going to have to earn it if you think this team is just going to back up into the play-in. That's which it feels like that's what they've been trying to do for the last 2 weeks. That's just not going to fly, especially, you know, I don't know that Dallas is a serious contender for that spot, even with AD, but it makes them more dangerous. And, you know, the Kings need to get right. They need to figure it out.
Well, you don't have to be dangerous. You just have to be a smidge bit better, because those three teams, there's no telling what the next couple of weeks will look like for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have no idea. Again, the Kings, once they get done with this two games here, they've got Portland, who's playing much better, and then they go on the road for, what, five or six games. And that's not easy either. You know, you're going to finish the season with a couple of winnable games, but you still have a team like the Cavs on the schedule as well. You have the three best teams, and maybe even four of the five best teams still remaining on your schedule, because they still have a game against Denver, if I'm not mistaken. So Denver, Cleveland, you know, OKC and Boston, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they're leaking oil as we come down the stretch, between sickness, injury, the schedule. They seem like they're just trying to get to the finish line. And for them right now, the finish line is an opportunity to make the playoffs. Finish line ain't even the playoffs right now. It's like, yo, just give us the chance, and maybe that might rejuvenate them. But, they feel like they're leaking oil right now, man. And like you said, now they got this sickness going around the locker room that's been hitting people left and right for the past week or so.
Yeah, it's not good. You mentioned it. You know, they have a couple of guys. What, Devin Carter, Malik Monk are both questionable due to illness. I checked just a few minutes ago. We don't have an update on those guys. The Boston Celtics injury report has been updated. And even Jaylen Brown is questionable in this game, which I thought he was out for longer than a couple of games. Sam Hauser is questionable. Al Horford will not play. So we might get to see, like, the Nemeas Keita revenge game here in Sacramento. That would be fun. You know, the Kings are in a spot where it doesn't matter who they play. They just have to play better, and they've got to find a way to pick up a win here or there. And it's not something that's been super easy. They've lost 6 out of 8. But, like, nobody feels bad for you. This is the NBA. Their front office made decisions at the deadline that impacted the ability to win, positively and negatively. And here we are, you know, coming down the stretch of a season where it sure does look like the Kings are going to be a below 500 team in the post All-Star break, you know, sort of run. And that's not great.
Hammer, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Sam Amick, your friend, who we're not allowed to speak to, just tweeted, Domantas Sabonis will return from his ankle injury tonight against Boston. It's only been 1 week since his ankle injury. That was expected to keep him out much longer. I didn't think Domas was going to play a single game on this homestand. The timeline that they gave us had him not playing on this entire homestand and maybe missing the Orlando game to start the road trip. How did we get here, James, to where he's playing with three games left at home?
You know, he's a tough guy, and he also has a lot of reasons to play. You know, like Domas is, he needs 9 more games in the final, 12 to be eligible for All-NBA. Whether he makes All-NBA or not, I have no idea. But, you know, there is incentive for him to play, not only the award, but I believe it's a $1.3 million bonus for making All-NBA. So this is it's crazy that he could possibly return from what the team deemed a moderate ankle sprain. Again, I don't know, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. They just threw that out the window and with moderate. But it wasn't mild and it wasn't severe. So I'm going to say that this is a pretty fast recovery for anybody. But like, look, Domas takes care of his body each and every game. He has a regiment to maintain his body throughout the season. The fact that not only did he get headbutted in that game and needed 4 stitches, but he is also coming off a hamstring injury. You know, it's shocking that he's only going to miss a week. They were going to evaluate him on Thursday with the potential. You know, there was a potential he could have played on Thursday against the Blazers, but now we're seeing that timeline just fast forwarded completely. I would not be surprised if he can't play in back-to-back games yet, which would mean, you know, if he plays tonight, he might not be able to play tomorrow. But this is the game, if I'm circling one of the two games that you could possibly get. This is no disrespect to Jesse Celtics, but, you know, it's a front side of a back-to-back. It's your, 4th game in 6 nights, and you're playing a team that's coming off a back-to-back. And a road and road back to back where they had to take a flight late last night and got in and all that stuff. So I think this is, if you were going to guess which game the Kings would be able to compete with, it would be this game over the OKC game tomorrow.
And James, I want to know what you think about this. I think the time for, you know, these guys, you know, not playing them on back to backs and all this other stuff, you know, as they get back from injury, I think that time is out the window. If Domas plays tonight and the ankle responds well and, you know, he's feeling like he's 75-80% of himself, I would have him out there on Tuesday against OKC. Like, we're not holding on to anything at this point. Every game matters. And I'm not saying, oh, you better go out there. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, if you can go and you're comfortable with playing, Domas, we need you, big fella. We'll see you on Tuesday as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's, are you injured or are you hurt? If you're injured, let me take you to the hospital and we'll go get an x-ray. If you're hurt, rub some dirt on it and let's go. And, you know, I think that's simplifying things, but that's the way I grew up playing sports, and I believe that's the way that Domas grew up playing sports. The dude is an absolute warrior. And, you know, he played, 70, 65 games with a avulsion fracture in his thumb. He just keeps going out there and playing. It doesn't matter the bumps and bruises. And I think this has been a difficult stretch for him, but he also is out. He's watching what's happening, and he wants to be part of the playoffs. Whether that's possible or not, we have no idea. I think there should be some concern about him coming back too early and then playing on a mushy foot for the rest of the season and not really having his A game when you get to the playoffs or the play-in if you do make it that far. But at the same time, you got to get there. You know, we can't just move the finish line here and say, okay, well, you know, Domas is just going to sit until 3 games left in the season and we'll have a tune-up and he'll get ready, because that might not be the case. You might not be part of the conversation by that point. And so I think it's bold by Sabonis, but he's also under contract long-term. You know, an ankle sprain, he might need, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the season to make sure that it's healed 100%. But like, this is what a good teammate does, and this is what a warrior does when his team needs him. And so I'm pretty impressed by him.
That was a hell of a buildup for Domas right there. How different is Kings basketball different when Domas is around?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, you hope it is. To be honest with you, I not only do I want him to come back and play, but I really hope that like he's more assertive and they
Oh, that's never good. I've been begging for that and was called a hater for 2 years.
Wanted him out of here.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to what we're watching on the court that to me is just not pleasing to the eye. And it's isolation basketball, like way too early, way too often, all the way throughout the game. And that's why you need Domas. You need Domas in the game to distribute. And, you know, I've compared like the way that Domas plays is a little bit like a hostess at a restaurant or a host at a restaurant, right? Everyone thinks that, you know, that those people, that the people who are standing there checking your reservation and walking you to a table and handing you a menu are just doing that. But what they're doing is they're balancing the entire restaurant. And it's just something that people don't really pay attention to. They're making sure that, you know, that your servers aren't overwhelmed in one area of the restaurant and not underwhelmed with people in another area. They're distributing what's happening throughout the restaurant. They're timing things. They're making sure that, again, like you have a table of 18 coming up, but there's three tables out there and people think, hey, why can't I just go sit in those tables? Like, no, you can't sit there because we have a giant reservation coming in a few minutes and we need that spot. And I know it's kind of a weird analogy, but that's what Domas is for this team. He's the one that makes sure that everybody gets a certain amount of shots, that people get a certain amount of space on their shots, that everything is sort of in proper order on the court. And when they don't go to him and they don't feature him in that way, this team just doesn't run very well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that is sorely missed. This team does not have a true point guard. And he acts as that point guard for this team. And they need him out there desperately. And I also think, like, look, he's a ground-based player. He's not a guy who, you know, goes up and dunks over the top of everybody every single time, every game. He's not somebody who takes off and, you know, flies from the free throw line. And so I think that there is a way in which he's able to play and be effective with a bad wheel. And that's what I think the Kings are probably hoping too.
Yeah, I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. This team needs one of their guys back. You know what I mean? And Domas, between the hamstring and now this rolled ankle, we just haven't seen a lot of him. And to your point, you know, he kind of balances everything out, settles things down because he is one of the leaders on this team. And they've been missing that as of late. So he's able to get back out there tonight and you know, hopefully no injuries the rest of the season, and they can go down the stretch run with Domantas Sabonis. That would be major. That would be major. You know what I mean? There was some question of, you know, just, all right, JV, a.k.a. the Nasty Boy, he's looking good out there, you know. All right. But when you see it for a sustained period of time, you know, oh, no, you need Domas out there. Mm-hmm. Like, He's one of those guys in the league for a reason, and they missed him.
Yeah, and like, look, I think the fact that you have Jonas Valanciunas there is great. You know, there's going to be a moment here where Jonas is asked to play, you know, longer stretches of the game, because what you don't want to do is get Sabonis all warmed up and then sit him for a long stretch. And so I think that there is going to come a point where they're sharing minutes a little bit here over the next couple of games as you're trying to get Sabonis like back up to speed. But that's why you have it. You know, it's not just for, you know, we talked about this early on. It was just as a 12 to 13 minute per game guy that can come in and give you like really, really good minutes. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, he's been so invaluable to this team as someone who can step on the court and play major minutes. And it doesn't always work out great. There are times where, you know, he does get played off the court because he doesn't defend the perimeter well enough. But I think with him there, it just gives you that insurance policy that Sabonis can play whatever he thinks he can play. And I don't know if they're going to put a minutes restriction on him or not. The Kings medical staff has not liked to do minutes restrictions over the last maybe couple of years. You know, if a player is ready to play, they're ready to play. If they're not ready to play, then they're not ready to play, and you're not going to play them at all. And so for me, it's kind of surprising that he's coming back this quick. But also, I would not be shocked if, you know, he plays close to 25 to 32 minutes in this game. And especially if it's close, if you're going for broke and you're trying to, you know, beat a really, really good team, Sabonis might have to be out there more than anyone is comfortable with him being out there.
Well, man, there's a lot of concerns with this, though, isn't there, Hammer? Because he's coming off of the ankle injury, which is coming off of the hamstring injury. And the first thing we talked about today was the fear of overcompensation. And while maybe you're protecting the ankle a little bit, you wind up hurting the hamstring. And the hamstring is the one where I feel like Domas will deal with pain with his ankle. But the hamstring could be the one that's like, yeah, this is cooked. This could be done for the year.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, this extra week probably really helped the hamstring. He looked like he may have pushed it to get back, especially we saw that play. Who was it that threw him around and he kind of tweaked something in the game before he got hurt again? I can't remember. Oh, it was Memphis.
It wasn't Zach Edey, huh?
No. It was a smaller guy that
Brandon Clark. That got all,
well, maybe it wasn't Memphis then. All the games were running together at this point.
Wasn't Memphis?
It was his first game back. So, and I'm not sure which game that was.
Because he only played that game, right?
Got hurt the next one.
No, he played two. He played the next game as well.
Okay.
I want to say, was he out for the Cavs? No, he was playing in the Cavs game. That's the game where Malik went out. What I was missing.
Phoenix and
Levine
Memphis.
Was missing.
Yeah, Domas played Phoenix and that's Memphis.
Right. That's right.
Phoenix. So it was okay.
Oh,
so,
it was Mason Plumlee when he gave him that elbow to the throat.
Oh no! That's when he cut his eye.
This whole conversation is stupid. What are we talking about?
Getting beat up left.
We're trying to keep track of Domas getting his ass whooped. He got headbutted, didn't he?
That's who it was. Ryan Dunn like grabbed him by the arm and like kind of spun him, and that's where Sabonis grabbed his hamstring in that first game back.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
Weird. Yeah. Like these games all running together, especially we're in the middle of five games in seven nights. It's just crazy.
Ryan Dunn, Plumlee, then Kennard bumped heads with him, and then I forgot whose foot he stepped on. Might have been Jalen Wells. I think it was Jalen Wells, actually.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, I hope he can survive tonight. Not going to get roughed up by Al Horford, so I...
Yeah.
Cornette.
Yeah. What a mess. What a mess.
They need him, though. They need
guys to, I don't know, like I said this, you don't have to play perfect, but you got to do a lot of things right. I mean, James, what was your assessment on Saturday's game? Like they played well, they were in position and couldn't close it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I thought they went ISO way too early. They just got away from their offense, and we discussed this with Kenny earlier, and Kenny's
been
right.
Discussing it since we got here.
Yeah, I mean, no, Kenny's right. Like in the end of games, you typically go ISO for at least the last couple of possessions, but this last couple of possessions is stretched out into like the mid third quarter at this point, and to me, it's just, you know, you're taking all the joy out of the game of basketball because it's really not fun to watch one person control everything that's happening on the court. And you know, it's one thing for Chris Paul to orchestrate and to have the ball in his hands and control everything that goes on. But he's distributing. It's another thing to watch a person take the ball and dribble the air out of it and then take the shot themselves. And I know, you know, again, Kenny doesn't agree with me on this, but like the ISO ball, just it's really tough to watch, and it works until it doesn't. And some nights it works the entire game, and other nights it stops working, but they don't go away from it. And so I felt like the last couple of minutes of that Bucks game, you know, the Kings' offense just went straight up to just ISO ball, whether it was DeMar or it was LaVine. And you just kind of dealt with whatever the ramifications were for that. And, you know, they didn't hit their shots outside of that. And, you know, I know a lot of people were upset about Keon Ellis not playing the last 5 minutes, but he also played 37 minutes in that game. And, you know, not only did he play 37 minutes, but he had only scored 2 points in the second half and had a really rough second half with fouls and other things. So, you know, I just, you know, it was a coaching decision and all that, but I thought they were in it, and I thought they played really well against Giannis in the fourth quarter. But in the end, they gave up too many wide open threes, which is what this team usually does.
I chuckled, and I'm sorry, but in the third quarter, DeMar DeRozan took one shot in 9 minutes.
Yeah. But what did he shoot in the fourth?
In the fourth, but you said earlier, you said maybe you misspoke, but you said in the third quarter they lost the lead because they went into ISO ball. And he took one shot in 9 minutes. He played all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. He took 9 shots, 4 of 9 from the field.
The only one playing ISO ball.
Zach LaVine took 8 shots in that third quarter.
Yeah. He's not the only one that's playing ISO ball.
Valanciunas took 5. Keegan took 5. Like, there's people who were taking shots.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles got 3. So you talk about, like, the ball being spread around. I mean, that's pretty good. You got Keegan with 5, Jonas with 5, Zach with 8, Keon with 2, Trey Lyles with 3, Devin Carter got 1, and DeRozan got 1. So I don't know if they were all going ISO or not, but, like, that seems pretty spread around.
When we got to the fourth quarter, it was 100% ISO ball.
Okay.
Like, the entire fourth quarter was ISO ball. So, I mean, we can go back and watch the tape together, but...
One day we will, James.
One day we will.
One day we will.
James just challenged you to watch the tape with him. I wouldn't take that if I were you. Wow. I wouldn't take that. Jeez.
You stop moving the ball and players stop moving. Here's a question for you, Kenny. How many assists they have in the fourth quarter?
In the fourth quarter, they had 3 assists.
Yeah, and what'd they finish with? 25 for the game?
I don't have that in front of me, but I can find it.
I can tell you.
What's
2 seconds. They finished 21.
21 for the game.
21.
So 18,
game.
18 through 3 quarters and 3 in the fourth quarter. I'm just saying. I mean, you got to keep moving the ball. That's why they lost. Keep players engaged.
That's why they lost.
No, they lost because in those ISOs, the last, 6 ISO, sets, they missed their shots.
Maybe they lost, and this is going to sound like shade, because Jake LaRavia had to play 12 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I get that, but, Damian, look at what Giannis Antetokounmpo did in the fourth quarter. Like, that, you had to pick your poison, and so I get that. I mean, Giannis scored... ridiculous. What did he score? 18 in the third?
Yeah.
And then he went scoreless in the fourth, or he scored 2 in the fourth, something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, they went big, and I got it. The LaRavia, Keegan Murray, lineup to me has been really effective, because it just means you're super switchable. And if you're going to send a double team, you're in that double team, you're very switchable in the double team. Right, you have 2 very rangy defenders, and look at Kuzma goes 0-for-1, Antetokounmpo goes 0-for-1. Again, Brooke Lopez goes 0-for-1. Where you got busted up is in the fourth quarter by the shooting guards off the bench, and Kevin Porter and Gary Trent Jr. combined for 20 points, and you gave up another 3 to AJ Green. So their bench outscored the Kings bench just in the fourth quarter alone. Like, they had 23 points off the bench in the fourth quarter. The Kings, I think, finished the game with 17 or 18. It's not good.
We'll come back. We'll spend some more time with James Hamm before he heads off to the Golden One Center. It's the Sacramento Kings and the Boston Celtics tonight. Can the Kings get back in the win column? They've dropped 6 of 8. Domantas Sabonis is back, according to Sam Amick of the New York Times. We'll spend some more time on that as well. Get you ready for the game tonight. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with James Hamm, the conversation has not stopped about ISO ball, about DeMar DeRozan, about this is going on 3 hours. James has challenged Kenny to watch tape with him. Kenny so far has cowered away from the challenge.
This is Andy versus Dwight.
I said we will watch tape.
This is the duel. Yeah,
the duel in the parking lot.
James is gonna hit Kenny with his Tesla.
Are you hurt? No, my leg is just falling asleep a little bit.
James is gonna pin Kenny against a wall with the Tesla.
That's right. We'll blame it on a terrorist act on our Tesla.
You don't want DeMar back here next year, do you?
Yeah, I'm okay with DeMar coming back next year, but it's got to be under different circumstances. This team has to be different. Like, I don't think you can have DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk and Zach LaVine all in the same team and in the same starting lineup. And I don't know what that means, like whether you move one, you move two, you move three, you know. But if you don't move any of the three, you're just asking for more of the same. And, you know, again, that's not to... I think DeMar DeRozan is a spectacular player, and what he does in the crunch time, a lot of times is super effective. And you know, there are a lot of times where you look at him and you just go, "Man, he's backpacking this team to a win." There are other times where he's not, and nobody's saying anything. And those are the times where it's like, "Hey, look, it's okay to not have it." You know, maybe we did get used to De'Aaron Fox having, you know, these fourth quarter magical moments where he takes over a game and he wins. Mm-hmm. But I also remember quite a few games where De'Aaron Fox missed one or two shots and then let other people take over. He let a Malik Monk go get a game winner. He let other people, he did not just say, "Hey, it's me, or either I win this game or I lose this game." That's where we've gotten with some of these games with DeMar. And like, it doesn't have to be that way. He doesn't have to feel that way, and he doesn't have to put that kind of pressure on himself, because his team does have a lot of talent around him. And so if he's back next year, I would hope it would be with a more balanced roster that would allow for some of these things to work. But, you know, again, this is a 500 basketball team. They should not return the same roster at all. They need to make changes. And we talked about this with Kevin Huerter forever about, you know, as much as Kevin was a player that was sort of in out of the rotation, Kevin represented a $17 million salary that you could take 20% back more on. So, you know, you could take back up to $21 million or something, $22 million with Kevin. So we looked at Kevin as more of a contract than a player for quite a bit of this season and part of last season. I think this offseason, you're probably going to look at DeMar DeRozan in the same way. I mean, he's 35 going on 36. He's not the long-term future of this team, and that's not being disrespectful. That's just being honest. He's got 1, maybe 2 years left as a high-end player, and even that is a stretch, you know, because he's going to be 36 next season. And what he's done this year at 35 is remarkable. He walks out on the court, and you can write in pen that he's going to score 20 every night. And to me, like, his consistency as a scorer is great. But when he's your, like, de facto at this point best player, you're probably not going to win a ton of basketball games. And again, that's not being disrespectful. That's saying, like, you got a 35-year-old guy out there trying to win basketball games for you each and every night. And that's because either players haven't stepped up, or because you traded your best player, or because in crunch time you don't get the ball to Domantas Sabonis for whatever reason. So it's just it's a difficult situation. But yeah, I look at him as one of the few ways in which this team can improve this summer, because you're not going to be able to trade Zach LaVine's $46 million likely. So you have to start looking at what can you get, how many players can you pull together to get up around $20-25 million. So you might be able to go get a really good player. And, you know, when you add in draft picks and stuff like that, and DeMar's contract is going to be one that we circle. And for that matter, Malik Monk's might be as well. You know, he might be a guy that you look at his contract at $20-21 million and go, okay, Is he part of the future? Is he not? And how do we get better? How do we fix the problems that we have with the roster? And sometimes that's by looking at players who make a certain dollar amount and moving them for pieces that make more sense for what you're trying to build.
Yeah, I mean, DeMar also didn't come here with the intention. I don't believe. Maybe I don't. I haven't talked to him about it, but he didn't come into with the intention of, yeah, I'm going to be the best player on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not why he came here. He came here to be part of something. And in the middle of it all fell apart. You know what I'm saying? And I think he, the Kings, all these guys are doing what they can to try and get to that finish line. Sometimes it's going to work like it did against Cleveland. Sometimes it's not like it did on Saturday. But they're trying to get to – they're trying to do what Mariah Carey said at one time, doing the best they can with what they got. That's what they're doing right now.
I don't want to get to the point where we're quoting Mariah Carey. It's just
probably
a bad,
not
bad place to be, man.
Slippery slope.
Doing
there,
the best they can with what they got right now. And, you know, on some nights it's like, hey, DeMar, try and bring us home because Sabonis isn't here, or he won't shoot, or LaVine won't shoot, or Keegan won't shoot. Somebody got to shoot. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to try and get these buckets to get wins. And that's what it is. Sometimes it's Malik Monk. The other night against Chicago, I think I just looked at it. It was DeRozan had 6 fourth quarter attempts. Monk had 6. LaVine had 5. Trey Lyles had 4. Like, other people are trying to do some stuff. They're just not making shots. When they make shots, it's all good, and we feel good like we did against Cleveland.
I would tell you this, like, the premise of what you just brought up, I disagree with. I think that DeMar DeRozan is the same player today as he was on game 1 and game 10 and game 15 and 35. I don't think he's changed at all. I think he's exactly the same. And I think you could look at his stats throughout the season, his splits from, you know, December, March. I think they all look the same. And that's because that's who he is. Like, he's a player who shoots a lot of shots, shoots a lot of fourth quarter shots. Sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't. He's relatively efficient, you know, shooting, you know, close to 49% from the field. But I don't think that there's a huge variance on who he is. And there's not a huge variance on who he is from one game to the next. And, you know, again, I think he came in still wanting to be an all-star level player who got a certain amount of shots and a certain amount of everything else. He was hoping he was playing for a winning team. Now, the team around him has changed, and the world around him has changed dramatically. But as far as, like, who he is as a player and everything else, shot attempts and everything else, I think it's been relatively consistent, except for maybe he's taken a few more three-point shots as the game has gone, as we've gotten deeper into the season. But, yeah, I mean, in October, he averaged is this him? Oh, no, this is the King splits, not DeMar. I can show you, though, like, when we get back to it. But
And there's also been plenty of times when he has told his teammates, hey, it's your time, go cook. We have the story with him telling Fox to do that in Phoenix. Who took the last shot against the Clippers a couple weeks ago? It wasn't DeMar DeRozan, yeah. It was Zach LaVine. Malik Monk takes the shot the other night against Cleveland. So, like, to say that every time when it's winter time, he just, like, don't look at his teammates and doesn't encourage them to take shots, I don't think that's fair, and that's not accurate either. We've seen numerous times when that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, there are going to be times where his number wasn't called, for sure. But, I mean, he's been relatively consistent. You know, he's every month this season is between 20.9 and 23.4 points per game. Like, he's been extremely consistent as far as a scorer. And, you know, that's a good thing. Like, you know, even his usage throughout the season has been very consistent, right around 24-25% for the season. So, like, he is who he is. It was my point. If anything, like, the three-point shot has been better this season than it has been in the past. And I can look at his numbers and tell you that's the one thing that's inconsistent about him. Every other month, he's really good from three. So, like, just like the first month of the season, he shot 12%, then 42%, then 29%, then 50%, then 33%, then 41%. and he's at 24.2. Every other month, he's like the Brett Saberhagen of 3-point shooting this season.
Nice pool.
I think one thing that frustrates me, not even one thing, the thing that frustrates me with this conversation a little bit is this isn't the problem with the Sacramento Kings. Like, James, if you were to rate the Kings' problems, like, where would this rank? Like, this isn't the reason the Kings are fighting off a Dallas team that we thought was dead and a Phoenix team that probably just wants to kill each other for the final play-in spot.
Yeah, he might not be the overall, like, number one problem on this team, but like when you factor in not just the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball, which has not been good, like he's certainly not a solution. And at 35, you're going to have to figure out what your path is forward here for not just him, but for the team. Like, how do you get better if you're the Kings from here on out? How do you get better next season? And, you know, you've got to make tough decisions, and you hope you have the decisions to make. You hope that you're able to move on from certain players and not from other players and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, roster construction is probably the biggest issue this team has had all season long. And part of that roster construction issue is that instead of going out and getting length and athleticism at the 3 and the 4, you got, you know, an isolation player who is 35 and hasn't been a solid defensive player for a couple of years. And, you know, so again, we can say what is the biggest issue on this team, but, you know, I don't think it's that far down the list. The points per game and everything else, like a lot of those, the points that he scores could have been distributed in different ways with this team. If let's say you had a 10-point per game score at that position instead of him, like this team could have easily just redistributed those extra points and minutes and shots. And, you know, but that's not the path you chose at the beginning of the season. And again, this season spinning out of control. The chaos of the season is not on DeMar DeRozan. I'm not saying that, but your way out of this and to move forward and to not be a 500 team right now, like it has to be a team effort. It can't be one guy trying to win it every single time. And that's more my point. You know, this is not the beautiful game, right? That's not what we're watching night in, night out. We're watching a lot of ISO hero ball, like time and time again. And it's not just DeMar, but that's typically what happens when a team is functioning in this type of circumstance where they're desperate, they're trying to get wins, and that, you know, one guy starts doing the hero ball, then the next guy starts doing hero ball, and then by the time you get to the, you know, the end of the game, everybody is out for themselves and not trying to make their teammates better. And that's typically a sign of a dysfunctional and not a very good team.
Okay, well,
is James Rockwell? I was going to ask what, but is he, you staying?
Oh, crap, James, you got to go. I forgot. James, go. You got to go. Sorry. Bye, James.
I do got to go.
Yep, James. We'll see you later. I forgot.
Take care, James.
Good
sorry thing. To be negative.
Good to see you.
Everybody.
now Kenny's going to rip James to shreds for the next 15 minutes.
Let me tell you why he was wrong.
Okay. There's people out there getting a kick out of it. So I'm going to sit here. You better listen up, James, because he's about to let you. Oh, he's about to unleash.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's just
y'all have been going at this subject. It, not even all day, for weeks.
This is Cena versus Rock year-long WrestleMania build.
This is 100% what it is.
This has been going on for at least half the season, at least.
We just gotta see the game a little different. That's all. We talk.
Well,
about
watch it. The film, Kenny. Watch the film.
That's the whole thing. I watched the film. I know what the film is telling me. Like I said, we talk about, oh, he just, you know, shoots it all in the fourth quarter. Guy took two shots in 4 minutes, mm-hmm. in the final 4 minutes of the game. So, like I said, man, it's just one of those things where you see it a little differently. It's all good. Like the beautiful game and all this other stuff, that don't really happen in basketball like that at the end. And that's really been my gripe. It hasn't been DeMar DeRozan or anything specifically to him, because if you don't feel like he's that guy, then you don't feel like he's that guy. I just don't think what he does is much different than the way the game is played in the NBA. That's just what it is. Like I said, these guys who are the number one scorers for their teams, like I said, they're not getting it in the Princeton offense all the time. They're getting the ball. They're going to work one-on-one. Maybe there's a pick-and-roll situation. That's about it. Ain't a bunch of backdoor cuts for buckets. And that's just – so what DeMar is doing is typical of NBA basketball, in my opinion.
You've got guys in roles that just don't belong there. In no way should – he's great, but in no way should DeMar DeRozan be a 1A on your team at any point, given his age right now. Like, that's just not a spot for him. Zach LaVine is just – I don't know even know what his role is right now. The guy's barely shooting the ball. Hopefully, whatever he's got going on is all right and stuff like that. But it's just – there's a lot of just mismatch here.
And then you got the key is you just don't have that number one option. Like, I think Zach LaVine could do it, but he's too selective with his shooting, and we've seen him just not shoot enough from time to time. So he's capable of it. But even you get DeMontis Sabonis back, with like, DeMontis Sabonis going to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or the first or second.
No.
You just don't have the right guys.
You're not, so it's,
and that was the point I was trying to make that James basically told me to go to hell with, is like I think there's a greater issue outside of the way DeMar DeRozan plays. There's a greater issue outside the way that Zach LaVine plays. Maybe you could be frustrated with the way that they play together. I'm not sure. I just think there are other issues with Sacramento that I don't look at those like, oh, that's the main problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And like I said, I think if you don't feel like DeMar is good with his team or you don't like his role, that's cool. I'm not – that's fine. Like, I'm not here to argue that. That's everybody's entitled to whatever. Like, if the move is right or whatever, like, I'd move DeMar DeRozan too if it worked out and got this team better. I'm not married to him as a player. It's just the idea – of what he's doing is so contrary to the way the NBA is played. It's just something I don't agree with.
Has this been a year-long issue, whatever you want to call it, or is this something that's just happened after the trades?
It's been a year-long issue. Year-long? Like, you talking about the way DeMar plays? Yeah, no, yeah, it's a year-long issue. Like, people were... I mean, this was... I think this started the Mike Brown thing, no? Like, Mike allegedly... perhaps wanted to move DeMar DeRozan to the bench.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was his style of play.
Well, it happened when he, and this is the other frustrating thing for me, is like it happened when he stopped, when the shots weren't falling. Because then nobody felt that way at Phoenix when they won that game in overtime. Sure. Then nobody felt that way at Miami when they won that game as well. But if the shots aren't falling, then all of a sudden it's a problem.
Yeah.
Then nobody felt that way at Dallas. Yeah. Nobody felt that way a week ago against Cleveland. But if the shots aren't falling like it didn't against New Orleans, or I guess like it didn't against – I didn't even pay attention until I watched the tape. Guy took two shots in 4 minutes, and all of a sudden he the problem. Come on, man. It's a narrative. It really is a narrative, in my opinion. It's a narrative that, you know, the ball stops moving, and DeMar DeRozan is the problem or the source for that. And, yeah, it's – it's whatever. Like, if he makes his shots, I promise you nobody's going to complain. So that's what I would tell him. Like, you make the shots, they'll love you. this is the way athletes be looking at the fans and all this. If you make them, nobody's going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, that's the way it is. What you're doing isn't wrong. It's just the results that's wrong. that's what it comes down to.
That's 100% what it is. It's a results-based business, pal. Mm-hmm. I could have, if I had gotten that sentence out right, it would have made more sense. I just couldn't. So?
We'll see what happens tonight.
I was about to ask.
So? The champs are here.
I don't know what to expect tonight.
Speaking of, are they a 50-win team yet or no?
Yeah, 52, they're like 52 and 19.
52 and 19? I looked at that this morning.
Yeah.
The Kings
roster doesn't fit in any way, but you have talent enough to where if you get hot on the right night, like, you have a chance. I think that's just ultimately what it comes down to.
I mean, you should be, with the talent that they have, you should be in these games. You should give yourself an opportunity to win. What it's going to come down to is like kind of like what we just talked about, but the last two games with Chicago and Milwaukee. When it's clutch time, are you going to be able to get enough stops? Yeah, we could throw Cleveland in there because they got enough stops, which was one, and they kept making shots against Cleveland.
Yep.
Like that's
all it was.
That's what the game came down to.
Yep.
And if we would have, we did the show the next day. It's, oh man, these guys, they can beat anybody. Yeah, if they make their shots. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, they can beat everybody.
And then against Chicago, they stopped making their shots.
Stopped making their shots. What, 11 in the first quarter? They were up 13 or something like that.
11 threes in the first quarter. Yeah,
11 threes in the first quarter.
15, I think it was on the game.
Mm-hmm. And that was late because I remember. Feel like halfway through the fourth, they were at 13. I remember seeing that graphic. Didn't even pay attention to it while it was going on, but they showed the graphic on the broadcast. It was they had 13 threes. I said, didn't they hit 11 in the first quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've been like 2 of 25 cents or something like that. So, yeah, that's who they are. Hopefully, Domas, James was talking about, can help balance some things out a little bit. You know what I mean? Get the ball moving a certain way. Hobie's maybe aggressive, looks for his shots, and brings that energy back. So,
yeah, Sam Amick reported just a few moments ago, well, like 40 minutes ago at this point. So, Domas is back tonight. Yeah. Didn't think we were going to see Domas at the Golden One Center. Didn't even think we were going to see Domas in Orlando.
It was like, right? John Cena coming out at the Royal Rumble that one time.
Great analogy.
Well, it was the
at the Garden.
It was the bicep. Was it bicep or tricep?
I think it was the torn tricep. Think,
yeah.
They had him out for an eternity, and he comes back, and the Garden pops in that little center entrance. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my God!
Wild time in seventh grade.
And that's at the time too when like secrets could be kept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that would have happened today, or would you heard whispers?
The injury way, you can do it.
I think there would have been whispers. Like, Punk was a surprise when he came back, but it was like there was obviously there was talk. Like, is Punk talking to WWE? Like, there were people who were reporting
it. He stopped doing everything, right? Like, he stopped UFC, stopped AEW.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh, the next logical move.
Yeah,
that's like with him at AEW. Right, like, because he stopped.
Well, that was kind of an open secret because that was the first episode of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it's in Chicago. No one's denying it. Mm-hmm. And they were smart. I thought that's one of the smartest things that they did was that, I think it was that Friday night show that they have or had. I don't know. They come out, the crowd is there, and then the music hits. And they knew, we can't save this. We can't push it off. Like, first thing out the gate is that music and his entrance.
Was The Rock a surprise? I can't remember.
When did The Rock return?
The first time?
No, this with Roman and all that other stuff. Was that a SmackDown? Was that when he returned?
He wasn't advertised every time. There was a one time, I think, where it was a surprise when no one knew he was going to show up.
I don't even remember when The Rock came back.
Yeah, I kind of forgot.
Well, we got to go anyways.
Just tune Dwayne Johnson out of my life. We'll come back tomorrow. We will come back tomorrow.
It's been a long day.
Man. 10 a.m., the Insiders. We're headed over to KSFM. We'll see you tomorrow on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, light the beam.